What a Savior. If it weren't for Him, none of us would be here today. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. A big God equals a big vision. We'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to ask all that are able to please stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving." And then in Proverbs 29, verse 18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Let us pray. Gracious God, like so many years ago, the prophet Isaiah got a vision from heaven about the glory of God, and it changed his life. I pray, God, that you would give us today a vision of your glory, and that our lives would be inspired as well. God, help us to see that you are a big, awesome God. And that translates into a big, awesome vision. Speak to us, God, through your word, for we'll make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Albert Einstein has gone down as one of the smartest people who's ever lived. Maybe the smartest guy of the last century. What did Albert Einstein think of God? I have a quote here I'd like to read for you. He said, "I do not believe in a personal God, and I've never denied this, but I have expressed it clearly. I believe in a God who reveals himself in the orderly harmony of what exists. He does not concern himself with the fate and the actions of human beings." You know what Albert Einstein said? He said, "I believe there's a God. You can look out there and see the universe. You can see there's a creator. I just don't believe he's actively involved in human beings' lives." But that is not the picture that God gives of himself. Notice here, he gives a picture of himself to us so that we can know God personally, because God wants to know us in a personal way. And whatever your vision is of God is going to translate into your vision of yourself and your vision of other people. How you see God will determine how you see yourself. How you see God will determine how you look at other people. And I've noticed that there's some people that have some wrong-headed views about God. I know some people, and they think of God, they think about a mean old grouchy man. You know, a mean old grouchy man just looking for somebody to mess up, catch them, and then zap them. You know, that's how some people see God. Some people see God as a good old boy upstairs. Oh, yeah, me and God, we're tight. I mean, God, He's cool. He's my homeboy. I mean, you know, me and God, we're buds. And then there are those who have the view that God is the bellhop God. And that is, God is there to serve me. I'm not here to serve God. But God, do this. God, do that. God, give me this. They have a vision. A picture of God is just a glorified bellhop. And some people have a vision of God, a whatever God. And that is, well, whatever happens, happens. You know, God's not really involved in our every details of life. But the Bible tells us to cast all of our cares upon God because God cares for us. And so today I want you to get a vision of how big and awesome and loving and kind and gracious God is, and that He wants to be a part of your life. But you have to invite Him into it. You have to let Him be a part of your life. So today's homecoming. It's a time to remember. It's a time to rejoice. And it's a time to renew our vision of God. So let's do those three things this morning. Number one, let us remember the past. In 2 Peter 1:12, we read, "Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught." And so today, we want to remember the past. In 1942, at the height of World War II, the darkest time in human history, 12 people got together and said, "We believe that God wants to have a lighthouse in Crouse, North Carolina, that will shine in this community and will shine around the world." And they stepped out in faith. They saw that vision. They believed God. And I just sometimes sit around and think, if those 12 people could be here today and could see all of you, and they could look back and see all that God has done in the last 76 years, how they'd be amazed at believing that vision has shaped what we see today. And today, as we remember at homecoming, we always remember those that have had their home going since our last homecoming. And we have those names here for you. You've already seen the pictures that we had earlier. But today we remember Belma Sayer. Belma was a loving wife, a loving mother, a loving grandmother, a hard worker, and a dedicated member here at Anthony Grove Baptist Church. Today we remember Vera Jones. Not everybody on this list, Vera was the oldest. She lived to be 89 years of age. She was an avid reader. And even when she was unable to come to church physically, she would always get a tape or she'd get a DVD. She'd mail in her tithes and offerings. She believed in supporting her local church. Number three, we remember Jimmy Kester. Jimmy was a dedicated brother. He was a faithful member of this church. He was a hard worker. He had some physical disabilities because from a hunting accident. But if Jimmy Kester was able to be in God's house, he was here. And even though he couldn't do everything he could do, he did do with a smile on his face. And we remember Sandy Whitson. Sandy was somebody who loved kids and loved working with kids. And we celebrate that today. And then Shonda Camp. We remember Shonda as a dedicated educator, a loving wife, mother, daughter, sister, and an inspiration to thousands of people as she fought cancer with a great amount of faith and determination. And then the last one on our list that we remember today is Willie Lavery. She's a loving wife and mother. She's a dedicated Christian. She worked in GAs, worked in ACT teams. She worked in Vacation Bible School, taught Sunday school. As a matter of fact, she was a person just full of joy. If you weren't here at her funeral, the family actually had us to bring out the American flag from our other building and had Pastor Ken get everybody to stand up. Attention! I said attention! Pledge salute, because that's what Willie would do. And so we remember these that have had their home going. But their home going ought to remind us of something, and that is the brevity of life. Life down here is short at best. Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and how fleeting my life is. The brevity of life. That list that I put up there a while ago of six people that went home to be with the Lord. Did you know three of those people up there still had children living in the home? You see, so many times we think we're going to live till we get old and we can't get around. And then, you know, we're just going to, somebody's going to tuck us into bed after we've had our favorite meal. All of our loved ones are going to get around. We're going to kiss them all bye. We're going to go to sleep and wake up in heaven. Folks, it don't work that way. Life is brief. You know what? I've conducted funerals for little bitty babies and conducted funeral for 100 years old. But think about it. Even if you live to be 100, that's not very long compared to eternity. The oldest one on that list was Vera. She was 89. You know what? Think about that. 89 years of age compared to forever and ever and ever. We're going to live someplace forever based on what we do down here in this limited time. I'm reminded of a little boy. He's 5 years old, and he went to the beach for the first time with his family, and he got sunburnt. About 2 or 3 days later, he came in, and his skin started peeling. He said, Mom, look, I'm only 5 years old, and I'm already falling apart. Can I get a witness? Any of you falling apart? Huh? All the brevity of life. But these people who have had a home going, it should also remind us of this. Our time's coming. I've checked the statistics. 100 out of 100 people leave this world. Second Peter 1:14 says, For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. Now, you and I don't know how soon it's going to be, but I can guarantee you this, it won't be long. Because none of us live down here very long. The brevity of life. And we're going to face that same thing that these six people we just looked at faced since last homegoing. And if Jesus tarries, our picture will be up there on the wall one day. And it don't matter who you are, you're not going to escape that fact. Steve Jobs was the founder of Apple Corporation. The first business in the history of humankind to reach $1 trillion in value. Steve Jobs, multi-billionaire, died at age 56 of pancreatic cancer, and all of his money couldn't buy him 1 minute more. All of us are going to face this same scenario one day. Are you ready? Are you ready when it's your time? When God calls your number and you stand before God, are you ready? Romans 14:10 says, For we will all, who does that leave out? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. Now folks, you can stand before the great white throne judgment and be judged for every evil, vile, wicked thing you've ever done. And then God will sentence you and cast you into outer darkness forever and ever in a place called hell. Or you can stand at the mercy seat of Christ, trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Therefore, all of your sins already been paid for. And then you will be judged for your service and your ministry. And then God will reward you according to your service. Now, let me ask you something. Which one of those groups are you in? If you're in the first group, I want to invite you and encourage you to get in the second group. If you're in the second group, I got a question for you. What are you doing for Jesus? You're going to be judged for your service. You're going to be judged for your ministry. And your reward is going to be based on what you've done for God. What's your reward going to look like? We all stand before the judgment seat of God. All right, so number one, I'm going to remember the past. Number two, I'm going to rejoice in the present. I'm going to celebrate what God is doing right now. 2 Peter 1:13. I think it right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. And so God wants us to celebrate. God's doing some great things in our lives. God's doing some great things in the life of this church. And homecoming is a great time to celebrate what God is doing. We see an example of this in the Bible in Luke 15:32. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The father said, we must celebrate. Today is a day of celebration. And in 76 years, Anthony Grove Baptist Church has never been in a better place than it is right now. As far as ministry, as far as missions, as far as opportunity, as far as blessings, the church has never been in as good a shape as it is right now. And that's something to celebrate and to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing at Anthony Grove Baptist Church. Now, what are some of those things that we can celebrate? Number one, we celebrate the lives that are touched by the ministry of this church. The lives that are touched. I'll tell you about a fellow. He's here. I'm not going to call his name. He knows who he is. But he lived in Mexico for about 15 years, and then he moved back to America, and he moved to this area here, and he's wanting to find him a church. And so he says to his brother, he said, I need to find me a church. He said, is there a church around here you recommend? He said, yeah, Anthony Grove Baptist Church. He said, a Baptist church? I've never attended a Baptist church. I hadn't heard all that good of stuff about a Baptist church. Why do you think I should go to Anthony Grove Baptist Church? Have you been there? He said, no, I haven't been there. He says, too far away from me. He said, but I hear the Spirit of God is moving at Anthony Grove Baptist Church. Well, that fellow came to Anthony Grove Baptist Church off of the reference of his brother. He said, when I came in, he said, people shook my hand. They hugged my neck. They were so glad to see me. He said, I walked in and sat down on the pew, and they said the Spirit of God was in the place so much. He said, I just sat there in the pew and wept. Folks, you and I got something to celebrate. God is touching people's lives in and through this place right here. Through you, people just like you. God is touching lives. And then we can celebrate the ministry that is given. We have 64 ministries in this church. We recently had a ministry fair, had sign-up sheets, if you missed it, back there at the back. I went to check on them. They've been taken down. If you didn't get to sign up, you just go by the church office and say, hey, I want to get plugged in. We have more ministries and more people involved in ministry right now than we've ever had in 76 years. That is something to celebrate and rejoice over. Number three, we can celebrate that the community is served. And we have all kinds of ways that we do that. Recently, we had Willie Lavery's funeral here at the church. The funeral director at Stamey's Funeral Homes, Pete Kraft, came up to me afterwards. He shook my hand and he said, Pastor, I just want to thank you and Anthony Grove Baptist Church for all the good things you're doing in this community. And think about that, folks. This come from a funeral director. I mean, you know, the guy's got the saddest job in town is thanking God for the lives that are being touched and the community being served by this congregation. That is something to rejoice about. Number four, we celebrate the souls that are saved. Some of these people come to know Jesus Christ through our faith ministry. Some of them get to know it through our special events like our Easter drama or through our Christmas program, through the various mission trips that we go on. I mean, we have been to about 14 or 15 states doing mission work here in America, just this congregation. And then we've been all around the world on every continent sending mission teams. We had one that recently came back from Puerto Rico. We got several that are planned for the future. And all of those people that are going to spend forever and ever in heaven because of the outreach of this church. And then number five, it may not seem like much, but I want to mention it. We celebrate the buildings and the funds that have been raised. You understand that the facility we're sitting in here is only a few months old. And the dream for all of this started 20 years ago. So this didn't happen overnight. We were able to build this building, $2.1 million building plus the furnishings on, and we only borrowed $880,000. In 3 years, this church raised $1.2 million above the regular tithes and offerings to operate the church. And here's what I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe in November at Thanksgiving when we have our harvest offering, I believe God's people are going to be generous again. I'm praying for four people to give $5,000. 80 people to give $1,000. That'd be $100,000. And if you look on the back of your bulletin, every week we're exceeding our budget. And if we'll take our budget surplus and a harvest offering of $100,000, this year alone we can pay $250,000 one-time payment. Instead of taking 20 years to pay this church off, we can have it paid off in 4 years. That's something to celebrate. Listen, I know churches right now can't pay their power bill. We're talking about paying off something 16 years early. God has blessed this congregation. And then number three, we want to renew the vision that God has given us. In Isaiah 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne. Verse 3, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." When did Isaiah have this vision? The year King Uzziah died. Is that important? Or is that just Bible trivia? It's important. King Uzziah was the king of southern Israel, Judah, for 56 years. Now, let me put that in context. If we were talking about the United States, that meant that King Uzziah would become president during the time of Eisenhower. So you had Eisenhower and Kennedy and Johnson and Nixon and Ford and Carter and Reagan and Bush 1 and Clinton and Bush 2 and Obama and Trump. And they had one leader all that time. Well, don't you understand? People say, oh, we're in a mess. King Uzziah's died. What are we going to do? And God gave Isaiah a vision, not of an earthly king, but an eternal king. Your earthly king is dead, but your heavenly king is alive and well, and he's on his throne. Folks, don't you understand that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? And the God that Isaiah saw on that throne is the God that's on that throne today. He is the Lord Almighty. And we need a fresh vision of the God that we serve. And so let's renew our vision of God in verse 3. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." God is holy. That means He doesn't make any mistakes. God is almighty. It means there's nothing that God can't do. And so if God can do anything and everything and He can't make a mistake, how can we fail if we follow Him? Let's have a fresh vision of God. Two sociologists from Baylor University surveyed 4,000 American adults about their views of God. And here's what they discovered. 96% of Americans believe in God. That's awesome. But here's what they also found out. How you view God determined how you viewed everything else, from economics to politics to morality, even to love. How I see God affected how I see everything else. So you see, we need a fresh vision of God. Let God make Himself new and real to you. And then number two, let us renew the vision of our purpose. Why are we here? What are we doing? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." What is our purpose? Glorify God. If we sing a song, what's the purpose for it? To glorify God. If you preach a sermon, what's it for? To glorify God. If you take up an offering, what's it for? To glorify God. If you go out and help the poor, what is it for? To glorify God. Everything we do is rooted in glorifying God. And if it doesn't glorify God, let's just don't do it. Now let me tell you why this is so important. I'm going to compare two organizations that you are both familiar with. One is the YMCA and the other one is Salvation Army. Okay? Let's start with the YMCA because they got started first. In London, England in 1844, a guy by the name of George Williams started the YMCA. Do you know why he started the YMCA? I wrote down here their mission statement. It says, "Our number one goal is to share the good news of Jesus Christ." That's what it says. And then it goes on to say, "And Christian discipleship will be a program of religious, educational, social, and physical activities to foster Christian discipleship." Now, how many of you, when you think of the YMCA, you think about Christian discipleship? Matter of fact, what does YMCA stand for? By the way, they just shorten it to the Y. I think they ought to just shorten it to A. Why is that? YMCA stood for Young Men's Christian Association. There's nothing Christian about the Y. It's not just made up of men anymore, and it certainly isn't just young people, so we'll just call it the A. But think about it. 150 years ago, they got together and said, "We're going to use sports, we're going to use recreation to reach young men for Jesus Christ." But what has happened is, they didn't renew their vision, they got away from their vision, and today the YMCA is just all about having a place to go work out. Now think about that. London, England, 1844. 20 years later, in London, England, a guy by the name of William Booth started an organization called the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army's purpose statement is this: it is a ministry motivated by the love of God. Its mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to meet human need in the name of Jesus. Both of them started in London, England. Both of them started about the same time. Both of them had to do with taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. But notice the YMCA has gotten completely away from what they're all about. But the Salvation Army is still about proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's still helping people in need in the name of Jesus. You see, they renewed their vision year after year after year. And homecoming is a time for a church to renew its vision, to renew its mission and its purpose. And so what is our mission? And let's renew our vision of our mission. It's in the last words of Jesus, Matthew 28:19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Folks, you can summarize what we're supposed to be doing by the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. What is the Great Commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. The Great Commission is go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And you take those two things, and that's what we're all about. Now let me just condense that down to three things, okay? We reach up to God, that's worship. We reach in to others, that's ministry and discipleship. And then we reach out to the unsaved, that's evangelism and missions. And that's what the church is all about. Now, how do we make that happen? I want to paint you a picture using sports of the model that we use here at Anthony Grove to accomplish our vision. Are you ready? All right. Now notice these circles. The goal is you're going to start at the outer circle and you're going to keep coming closer and closer till you get to the center. All right. That's our model. We want to move people from one circle to the next circle. And I'm going to use a sports analogy. You know, this is football season, so I'll use the Panthers, okay? All right, the first one up here is community. That's everybody outside. Everybody outside these four walls. That's community. Is everybody in the Charlotte metro area going to Panthers game today? No. All right, does everybody out in the community come to Anthony Grove? No. But what do we want? We want all those people out there in the community to what? Be a part. All right, so what is our goal? Our goal is to move people from community to the next circle. What is the next circle? Spectator. You see, what will happen is over at the Panthers, there'll be somebody, and they'll go over there because they're having a playoff game. They'll go over there because they have a home game. They're not going to go all the time. They're just going to come every once in a while. They're a spectator. They'll sit in the stands, eat some popcorn, drink a drink, right? Well, the same thing is true in the church. We have people who come to Anthony Grove, and they're coming as a spectator. At the end of this month, we're going to have a Hallowe'en festival, and 2,000 people will show up to get candy and hot dogs and have a safe place for their kids. They're not going to be here today. They're not going to be here next Sunday, but they're going to show up for Hallowe'en. You want me to tell you what they are? They're spectators. They've come out of the community. They've come to the church to see what's going on. Well, what do we want? We're not going to badmouth these people. We're glad they're coming. But we want to move them to the next circle. And what is that circle? We want them to be a fan. You see, not just go to a Panthers ball game when they're in the playoffs, but I'm going to be there for preseason. I'm going to be there for every game. I'll be faithful and dependable. That's a fan. Oh, what's your team? Well, I'm a fan of the Panthers. You see, we got folks like here, just like that in Anthony Grove. They love this church. They come here. They come often. They come regular. They're regular attenders. They're fans of what's going on at Anthony Grove. But see, our goal is to move them to the next circle. What's the next circle? That's being a team member. What's the difference between being a regular attender at Anthony Grove and being a member of the church? Commitment. You see, one is like dating and the other's like being married. See, if you're just a regular attender, you have no commitment. You know, I'm coming every week, but I have no commitment. When you walk down an aisle and you join the church, you say, I am committed to serving God in this place for as long as He tells me to. I mean, you realize teams trade members. And God may lead you somewhere else. But what I'm saying is, if you're a regular tender and you're a fan and you want to go to the next level of commitment, you walk down an aisle and said, I'm here as long as God wants me to be. And you become a member. All right? But then once you become a member, we want you to move you to the next circle. What is the next circle? We want you to be a player. We want you to be a player. Listen, we just don't want you to be a member sitting on the bench. What does a player do? He gets out there in the game and makes a difference in the outcome. We want to get the members off of the pews involved in a ministry affecting how the outcome of the game of life is. Are you a player? We want to move you to the next circle. What is the next circle? That's a recruiter. You're not just out there making a difference. You're out there trying to get other people. Hey, come join the team. Hey, come join the team. You see, you've went up a different level. You're going at a deeper level. It's just not, I'm doing my ministry. I'm trying to get other people recruited to our team. And then number four is the captain. Want to move you from a recruiter to captain. That is, we want to get people to be team leaders. We want them to take charge. We want them to show leadership, take initiative. I'm not doing it because I ask. I'm doing it because God has called me and motivated me and inspired me. And then after that, the inner circle would be the coach. And the coaching staff around here would be the pastors and the staff and those kind of folks. But you see, our goal is to take people that are out in the community, don't know anything about God, and to move them to a deeper commitment until they're totally sold out and passionate for Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what we try to do every week. Now I want to pause and ask you something. If time wasn't an issue and money wasn't an issue, what great thing would you attempt for God that you're not currently doing? Well, can I tell you something? He's the eternal God. He's got all the time. He's the Lord God Almighty. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so if God wants you to do something, He's got the time for you. He's got the resources for you. He's got the talent for you. He's got the giftedness for you. See, it all starts with God's vision for your life. And that vision is determined by how you see God. Do you see God as a big God? Has He given you a big vision? Has He given you a big dream? Or are you all about just doing a little bit for Jesus? Well, listen, friend, my God's an awesome God. My God's a big God. I want to do something big for a big God. I believe God gives you a big dream when you have a big God. Now, go back to your outline. I know you done put it up. You put it up because there wasn't any more blanks to fill in, right? I want you to look at that diagram, and I want to ask yourself to ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, show me where I'm at on this diagram. Am I a spectator? Am I a fan? Am I a player? Am I a captain? Where am I at on that? And would you say, God, with your help, I want to move up a little closer. I want to go one step farther. I want to go one step deeper. God, I want to get closer to the very center of commitment in my life to you. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. What is it that God is calling you to do today? You say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm going to invite you to get up out of your seat, come to this altar and say, God, give me a vision of you. God, give me a vision of your will for my life. I want to invite you to pray, Holy Spirit, show me what the next step is. God, I just don't want to be stuck in a rut. But God, I want to make the next step in commitment. God, what would you have me to do? Would God have you to stop being a fan and become a member? Would God have you to not be a member that sits on a pew but get involved in a ministry? Would God have you to lead, be sold out to Him? What is it that God's calling you to do? Heavenly Father, Lord, you revealed yourself to Isaiah in a very difficult time. Lord, we're living in difficult days today. God, show yourself to us today. Give us, God, a vision of how great and awesome that you are. And then, God, give us a vision for our life that will drive us and motivate us and compel us to be the people of God on mission. Lord, if we have wandered away from that mission, help us, God, to renew it today. God, help us to take the next step in a deeper level, a closer walk, God, with you. Lead us now, Father, as we make our decisions and our commitments. We'll make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you would please stand as we sing, we invite you to come.